Almighty and Eternal Father, as thy children, we are thankful that we can acknowledge thee because you have borne witness to us of who we are and from whence we have come, granting unto us through thy word the vision of thy plan, thy purpose for thy household in the earth, for the achievements of thy kingdom, for the eternal purpose for which you have established thy household, and you have created the processes of their service. We are thankful, our Father, for the church as a spiritual center of thy kingdom, for the realization that you have always called out and led thy people and gathered those that would heed thy voice. We pray, our Father, that in this hour, as we meditate upon the conditions in our environment, situations and circumstances that relate to thy kingdom, that you will grant unto each one of us the realization of the eternal nature of our background and of the eternities of tomorrow to which we are a part, causing us to recognize that we are a part of an eternal stream of vital life, and that no power or force can destroy that which you have ordained. So in this hour, as we meditate upon these conditions, we pray for this great nation of thy kingdom, which you have ordained in this hour to lift up the standards upon the mountains of thy nations, to lift up a standard to which men may gather for the carrying forward of the program of thy kingdom. We pray that you will create for us a process of life and power that will cleanse our society and liberate our nation. We pray, our Father, for leadership that will be guided by thy spirit instead of thy enemies. We pray for the removal of each and every one of thy enemies from high positions of power. We say, thy will be done. We call for deliverance as thy word has assured us that everyone that calls upon thee in this hour shall be delivered. And we pray for the nation that it shall be delivered to carry out the objectives of thy purpose, knowing that the great processes of prayer start with thee and move through the consciousness of thy people to return unto thee in a perfect circle of operation. So we pray, our Father, that in any process essential, that we are willing to see thy will be done for the preservation of thy kingdom. As we commit ourselves to thy hand, we acknowledge that thou art our Father, and we as thy children, praying for thy blessing, and we ask it. Amen. We turn this afternoon to the subject of the River of Living Water. There are a great number of subjects that are contained in the scripture under the patterns of symbolism that are part of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We are told in the book of Matthew that unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. When one talks about the differentiation between you and those that are specified, as unto them it is not given, it is the divinity with which we find God Almighty identifying the children of his spirit, who come out of the very presence of the Eternal and have been planted in the earth for the purpose of establishing his kingdom, carrying out the objectives of his plan. We have often cited to you that nothing is more important for a Christian to know than who he is and from whence he has come. Too many people do not know anything about where they've come from, and all they understand is that here they are on earth, and what they're here for they don't seem to know. They'd like to carry out what they feel is God's responsibilities for them. They would like to be good Christians, and they want to go to heaven. This, they have been told, is a fine objective, and there's nothing at all wrong with the project, but the pattern is that they do not seem to understand their relationship to life and earth. We tell you that the church has a responsibility because it's the spiritual center of God's kingdom, and out of the media of its functions, the oracle of God is to go forth to the people that constitute God's household. When we talk to your race, we talk to a race that has been, by process of redemption, redeemed. But we talk to a race that is a fallen race from what it had possessed in the hour of its first existing in the earth. By this process, we talk then to a people who are a spiritual people, whether they understand this or not, resident in physical bodies, and on the process of total restoration from that which they have lost. I want to make a clear distinction when we talk to you about these matters, that there are areas of divine processes under grace, under God's plan, that relate to you and to your race. I want you to know that God's blessings, which he bestows upon you for the development that God has planned, will bring great and eventual good to the earth, for God so loved the world that he planned this. but preeminently above all the peoples upon the face of the earth, he hath loved you. I want you to know that you are his offspring, and there are no other people on the face of the earth that can lay claim this afternoon to the fact that they are the offspring of God outside of the white race. I want you to know that only Adamites can say we are divine offspring. A great number of people have adopted patterns of what they call mental gymnastics, that by the processes of accepting a statement or by believing on a fact, that this makes such a transition in the individual that he's no longer a part of what he was and becomes now a member of another race. This is not so. I want you to know that it is the duty and responsibility of every man to worship the one and only true God of the universe, either as creator or as father. I want you to know that this does not change the status of their origin or their beginnings. Those things were settled at the point of origin when their race came into existence. There is no doubt that nothing can be expanded as best in the knowledge of man than the purposes of God if they have the capacity to understand. But if they lack this capacity of understanding, then, my friends, it can only come by the process of long and patterned instruction, because it is impossible to bring it to them in a moment. When Jesus talked to the Jews in the book of John, the record is told concerning what he said to them. He says, you cannot understand my speech because you cannot hear my words. Well, you would say, why is this? How is it that they couldn't hear his words? He was talking to them. They understand the language he was talking to them in. But it didn't erect in the seat of their consciousness the image which Christ was expressing, because they did not possess the spiritual wavelength to receive it. Jesus identified the pattern that they had a different origin, and they did. This particular body of people were the result of a mutation of divine law. They came from Lucifer's fallen households and the rebellious forces that made up the angels of heaven that rebelled with them, which in the book of Jude, you were told, didn't keep their first estate and mingled with people and produced an unassimilatable and evil seed in the earth. Do not by any stretch of the imagination let somebody come along and try to tell you the Jews came from Judah. That would make every German that was dead turn over in his grave and every living one repudiate it that knows the truth. The people today who make up the house of Judah are a part of the great households of Christendom. One of the great covenants of God concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah is that I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah in those days. I'm going to put my spirit in their hearts. I'm going to write these great truths of knowledge and wisdom deep inside of them. I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. They're going to have my name on them. They're going to be Christians. This you would never say of Jewry. They didn't understand it when Jesus was there, and they don't understand it to this day. Nor did the people down in Galilee who were a part of the household from whence Jesus had himself originated. For you note that as it relates to earth, that Christ was out of the house of Joseph and Mary, and in this instance, those his brethren in the sixth chapter of John, though they didn't understand the vastness of his ministry, they were not, my friends, of Jewry in Palestine. In fact, in the sixth chapter of John, Jesus identifies the posterity of darkness and said to his disciples, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. And it says, after this, Jesus had to go down in Galilee because he couldn't walk among Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. And while he was in Galilee, he stayed with his family, with his household, and with his friends. And when they all went up to the feast in Jerusalem, though Jesus bided his own time because the Jews were plotting to kill him, it said, no man dare speak openly of Jesus for fear of the Jews. Why this blindness and this darkness? Because they lacked the spiritual capacity. They were the result of a mutation of a fallen archangel. I want you to know, therefore, that when God talks about his people, and we have mentioned this people to you, this Israel, this means the issue ruling with God, that God planned would rule in the earth. For this purpose he established your race. This is the reason why the Adamic race was placed here, where there were many peoples already existing. The ancient empires of the Sumerians, the empires of Egypt antedated, according to the first 31st chapter of Ezekiel, the Adamic race of which you are a part. In this instance, then, it was the grace of God working out a divine plan of building the kingdom of righteousness overthrowing evil, liberating the peoples of earth from bondage and putting it in order. It was a part of the Father's plan. I want you to know that because of this, there are symbolisms of the Scripture that relate to you that relate to no other people. If you turn again over in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul talks again about the difference in your capacities of perception and understanding. And he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He makes a declaration, therefore, that his speech is not just with enticing words, but by the process of a perception, which he refers to as the Spirit of God. He makes a statement unto those that would hear it, that this is the wisdom which was the wisdom that God ordained before the world unto your glory, to your perception, to your understanding, to your illumination. The Apostle Paul said, concerning this, therefore, God hath revealed these mysteries unto us by his Spirit. No man could understand them except by the Spirit of God. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man except by the Spirit of God. Now, which things we speak of, not just in words of man's wisdom, but in words of the Spirit. Now, the natural men, or the beast orders, or the created peoples that were in earth, they cannot understand these mysteries of God's kingdom. But the Scripture makes a statement concerning this pattern. The world orders cannot understand the great mysteries of God's kingdom because they are not naturally discerned, they are spiritually discerned. Now, he that is spiritual would be able to discern this. So the Apostle Paul said, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God. Therefore, because we have not received the Spirit that the world has received, we don't have the Spirit that the world order has or the natural forces, we have the Spirit which is of God. Why have we the Spirit which is of God? Because we are of the household of the Most High. We are Spirit of His Spirit, life of His life, and breath of His breath. It is this reason in the 82nd Psalm, he said, ye are Elohim, and all of you the children of Yahweh. Ye are God's plural, children of God, Father, singular, author, and beginner of your race. But why do you die like men? Because you're a fallen society. Why do I have to even tell you this afternoon? Because in the general pattern, in the fall of our race and obscurity concerning our spiritual origin and our spiritual capacities came like a veil down across the pattern of our consciousness. And in these hours of lost vision, we had to therefore operate on the pattern of the senses and on the spoken word that came through the pattern of the senses into the seat of the consciousness until God Himself came down and instructed your forebears. Until we raised up patriarchs and especially endued them with understanding. Until we started back line on line and precept on precept to restore to our race that conscious perception that we had lost when we surrendered to the will of the forces of darkness. But God had not cast aside His people, nor had He changed His plan, nor having known from the beginning that this would be the Luciferian design, had He permitted or decided to permit the permanent mutilation of His society. You'll note that with the starting of the household of Seth after the seduction of Eve, after the violation of divine law, that Seth was a man in the pattern of God's purpose, and Adam said, I have now begotten a man in my own image. I point out to you that God, with all the patterns of revelation, all the mysteries which we find from Genesis down to the teaching of the patriarch, talks about a restoration of your society. To its perception, to its knowledge, to its understanding, to its function. As far as being Spirit of His Spirit, you are Spirit of His Spirit, born of incorruptible seed before the world was framed. You are life of His life, and you are breath of His breath. You are the only people on the face of the earth, therefore, that were the issue of the Most High God. When we declare this to you, we point out also that with this comes a capacity to think God's thoughts. And God activated this from time to time by a spiritual outpouring of divine energy. Out of the vastness of the universe, we see the stupendous works of creation. I know that each time in the beautiful clarity of a cool, clear night, when you look out into the sky, you're challenged by the magnitude of that creation. I know if there's anything of the astronomer in you, that when you get to a clear spot in the high desert or into the mountains and behold the vastness of the vaults of the heavens and all that's there, you even feel the strength of creative power that you draw out of that majestic spectacle. And if you know who you are, and you know whence you come, your very inner spirit is probing out there to the background of the yesterdays when you were with the Father before the world was framed. And in this instant, you feel the great glowing strength that stirs within you, and you can't stand and look at this and not feel it and watch it move, but you can't see it. You may behold the beauty of it, but you cannot see that which you feel, but you feel it just as that. God Almighty, out of the vastness of His universe, the heart of it, has been sending out areas of energy. These tiny pulsing patterns of energy are like the particles of light or the unfinished particles of the elements of energy that move out through the universe that are going all the time to be regrouped by directivity in the pattern of spirit. Out of these flowing forces of spiritual energy is the great eternal cognition of the purposes and the plans of God's mind. God with directivity can concentrate great waves of this energy, and it is received even telling man that has the capacity to receive it. But there has to be in his inner consciousness a spiritual wavelength exactly like that of the mind of the Father, or he can't receive it. It's not a set, you just tune in. A lot of preachers think you tune in God, that you decide that you're going to tune in God, so you tune him in. Let me tell you something, my friends, if you're not locked in, you'll never hear it. Spirit of his spirit, life of his life, breath of his breath. Therefore, there is a symbolism that is used in the scriptures. This symbolism is used like the symbol of clear water. Way back in the background of the ancients, one of the signs of the zodiac was Aquarius. And that sign is a very important one because that was the sign that Enoch knew that the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heavens was going to occur in when we come to the climax of the age, after redemption patterns, in the day when the kingdom is about to be set up in its fullness. When the powers of darkness are going to be swept away by spiritually powered, energized suns joined with heaven for this purpose. So in the sign of Aquarius, what is Aquarius? It was the waterman of the heavens. It was the great stream of life power poured out, symbolized like water. I will pour out my spirit upon all my flesh, my sons and my daughters, my young men, my young women, my old women. They shall see visions, dream dreams, be empowered with understanding. But this is what Aquarius, with a symbol of the outpouring of the heavens, was a symbol of. And in the background of wisdom and understanding, the symbol of this clear water was the water of life, vital, divine, conscious energy patterns. And it had a close relationship with the people that could receive it and could understand it. Because of this, therefore, always we discover that God's promises concerning his people, when he talked about energizing them, when he talked about bringing to their cognition, this which they would normally always understood if it had not been for their fall. He talked about sending with directivity and outpouring of his spiritual power. He talked about it like you would refer to rain or water. For as rain visibly falls, as water could be poured out, so also spiritual forces are poured out by the Father for his children to descend upon them, that they might be empowered. I point out that there's a reason for this empowering. Your Father intends to take this world back from Lucifer and all his hosts. Your Father intends to take this world back with you, his people. Intends to take it back and set it free from all error, darkness, and superstition, from all the powers of communism and Jewry, from Hinduism and Buddhism, from witch doctors and evil. Your Father intends to take it back. And in the process of taking it back, he was willing to invest you as a race in the earth. And in the hour of first placing you here, knew what would happen with the seduction of your race, with a violation of divine law that would pull the blanket of the spiritual perception down across your eyes, so that you would not be able to see as clearly as it was intended that you would. The Father said, therefore, I make this promise to you from before the foundation of the world. I've already written your names in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. I shall redeem you. I shall restore you. But you're going to finish the task that I put you in the earth to do. You're going to increase and multiply as the sand of the seashore, the stars of the heaven. You're going to keep on growing into the increase of this kingdom. There's not going to be any end. Let me assure you this afternoon that in the majesty of divine purpose, it is and will be a total restoration of all the universe Even the disciples understood this after the outpouring of the Spirit was to again bring back to their illumination the pattern of divine plan. In fact, way back in the speech of Peter in the book of Acts, when in the beginning of his ministry he talked about the eventual restitution of all things spoken of by all the holy prophets since the world began. I point this out to you this afternoon, that unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, since the Spirit in you is not the Spirit that is in the world, but it's the Spirit which is of the Father. When I use this word Spirit, I'm talking about a multiple pattern of life existence, because Spirit has energy and form, is synthesized with particles of light in its wavelength. And the Spirit, my friends, is an entity, and you are a spiritual entity and have a spiritual being and are a spiritual body resident in this physical body. But the spiritual being that is you is a lot older than the physical body it resides in, because it was with the Father before the world was framed. Transgressions in the seat of the consciousness in the connection of the mind were committed by the soul consciousness and in the body, but not by the Spirit, which still is of incorruptible seed and lives and abides forever. Its wavelength is of divine purpose. Now, in thinking concerning what the Father has in store, we turn to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and his embodiment as the Lamb. In the midst of this great river of life, this flowing street of power and energy, and on either side of this river we see the tree of life with its 12 manners of fruits, yielding her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Now there shall be no more curse, and the throne of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And he refers to this throne as the throne of his embodiment, as the Lamb that accomplished the redemption. And this in the book of Revelation, talking about this pure river of the water of life. What is this pure river of the water of life? It's the stream out of Aquarius. This pure river of the water of life is the spiritual entity of God's life force flowing out through his universe. Because your spirit is spirit of his spirit, resident in your body, is a divine entity which is kin of God. And because of this, the flowing spiritual force, which is the entity of God's thinking and his processes, formulate in your consciousness and have the capacity of completing in you the wisdom of divine plan. I point out that a lot of people are not even conscious of how much spiritual energy is flowing out upon them all the time, or that their race is a part of this great river of life, or that they are a part of that which God hath ordained from the beginning to accomplish his purposes, his household, his children, his sons. We go back to the book of Isaiah, and we read in the book of Isaiah concerning this declaration, "Yet now, O Jacob, my servant Israel, whom I have chosen, thus saith Yahweh that formed thee from the womb." Divine issue, divine household. "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods as upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. You're going to grow up in the earth like grass, as willows by the watercourses, the great coasts of the earth, and by the oceans and the streams. One's going to say, 'I am Yahweh's, I belong to the Lord.' Another's going to call himself Israel and surname himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, 'I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Therefore, who but I shall call and declare it? I have appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. I have done this. No one else can do this. Let them come and show tomorrow. I prophesy tomorrow. I ordain tomorrow. I'm God, and I have declared this from the beginning. How about you, born from the womb, issue of the Most High, who says, 'Our Father which art in heaven,' he says, 'I will pour out my spirit like water upon dry ground. I will pour it out upon thy seed, upon thy offspring.'" We mentioned the last issue of United States News talking about the status of what nations had enough food to eat, what nations were blessed with wheat, with grain, and of all the world, Western Europe, North America, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, they have anywhere from 25 to 50% more grain than their population will use with all the increase they expect in the next year. Whereas you turn to all the rest of the world and you move out among all the other races and all the other religions and they don't have enough food to sustain and support their people now on the standards of what would be good food supply, and in the years which are ahead with a population explosion, there is nothing but problem and trouble. I point this out to you. God said, therefore, because you are my children, you are my household, because you keep my commandments, because you worship me, I'll give you perception, I'll stimulate your consciousness, I'll provide you with know-how, I'll pour out my blessing upon you, your fields are going to yield, your cattle are going to increase, you're going to have butter, and you're going to have beef, and you're going to have lamb, and you're going to have all of the things necessary to satisfy thy mouth with good things. I will give you the know-how, I'll give you the understanding, I'll bless your crops. I guess they're blessed all right, we just even don't know what to do with it. It just demonstrates that it isn't a matter of land service or just conditions of soil, because God gives you the know-how to do, know what to do with it. And I point out to you that there's a relationship to physical blessing and spiritual perception. Now, someone said, is there any solution to the problems of the earth? Yes. God Almighty has not only a solution for its problems, he didn't come into the world to condemn it, he came to give it life. In the processes of giving life to the world, every single situation that needs correcting can be corrected by the kingdom of God through which the life processes flow. I want you to know that the tree of life has 12 manners of fruit. And the fruit on that tree are for the healing of the nations. But let me tell you that in this process of God's pattern of his kingdom with its 12 patriarchs and its 12 households and the pattern of its national streams unto the 12 apostles still carrying the divine pattern of measure and the cycle measure of the sky. The Most High said, I will pour out my spirit upon my sons and upon my daughters. I'm going to tell you that know-how, understanding and perception is not poured out by God as vision initiative on those that refuse to recognize it. I turn to the same process of declaration to the prophet Joel. The prophet Joel points out the climax of our age, and he said, I will come to pass that afterwards I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon sons and daughters, young men, old men, upon my servants and handmaids will I pour out my spirit. Said there'll be wonders in the heavens and the earth. Talked about these conditions in the climax of the hour. There's going to be deliverance for all my people. In a very hour where God pouring out his spirit says, I bring this knowledge and conscious awakening to my people. A vision is a clear understanding, an image consciousness in the seat of the intellect of purpose. He calls this a latter rain. He talks about the former rain as the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding poured out beforehand, and the latter rain as the latter rain, a great wave of knowledge, wisdom, and power. We point out the fact that this is relative to crop in its significant way. The former rain, when they seed it, helps to start the activities of the seed, its growth, and the latter rain descends when the crop needs to be brought to its fullness and the grain head out, and if you get a latter rain, you get a good crop, and if you don't, you get dry farming that doesn't work. God Almighty talked about his household, his seed, his people of the earth, and his kingdom. And he empowered it, and he sowed it, and he gave it a former rain. And at the climax of the hour, when the harvest time is coming close, he says, I pour out my spirit like rain. I'm going to head up the crop, and it's going to be a good one. Now, the enemy's been at work at this period of time, too, because the field is the world, and the seed which he planted, he said, is the children of the kingdom. And the enemy's been out planting tares. He's planted a lot of tares. We've told you this time and again, at the end of the age, when the harvest comes, the tares turn red. It's much easier to gather them up then. Many people wondered why God permitted them to stay here this long. But at the end of the age, you can gather the tares out and not hurt the kingdom. And that's exactly what's about to transpire. A lot of people think they're just about to go somewhere. My friends, I'll tell you who's going first. The tares are going first. Someone said, you mean that we're not going to do anything about it? No, you can help. But the tares are going to go. I want you to perceive, therefore, that God Almighty talks about pouring out His Spirit, pouring it out upon you, pouring it out as waves of divine cognition and energy. It's not rain. He's actually talking about it's a rain of invisible force, of spiritual perception, of something that quickens your consciousness, that adapts you to the truth, that stimulates men, that raises up leadership, that accomplishes divine purpose. From the outpouring of the Spirit that descended upon the disciples shortly after Christ had departed from them, and they were waiting for spiritual power, they were endued with power from on high. It descended upon them like rain, until even Peter said, this is that was spoken about by the prophet Joel. I want you to know, however, this was not that day that Joel was talking about, but this was that was spoken about. This was a descent of spiritual power, of wisdom, of understanding, of vision, of challenge. And these men had restored to them a conscious perception that made a functioning Christianity practical and applicable, that gave them the kind of courage in which they prayed for the sick and they raised the dead even at that time. And that was just a former rain coming moderately. I tell you also, it gave Peter the kind of courage that he'd stand up to jury and their magistrates, even though they threatened to throw him in jail, and then walk out, too, when the Spirit gave him the key. Remember what Jesus said about these latter days? He said in these latter days that one of the signs of the end of this age is they'd like to deliver you to the magistrates, and they'd like to throw you in prison, but they said also the synagogue and the magistrates throw you in prison. This is the end of the age. They're still at it. But I point out to you that they can't understand what you're talking about. Now, there are a lot of people today that are mentally in bondage because they've been listening to the world order. They've been listening to everything the world order has had to say. They've got their names in all kinds of world organizations, but they have not perceived as yet the purpose of God. They do not as yet understand that the kingdom of God is their reason for being here, because they're born into it, they're racially a part of it, they're spiritually, they have the capacity to have illumination and consciousness developed within them to carry out the objective. Someone said, well, what do you think of these people? There are a lot of them are casualties. There's a few. But I tell you what you'll discover in this latter day, that as the Spirit of God is poured out and the truth of God is proclaimed and they're exposed to it, it starts to form a mental image in their mind, and they start to desert the pattern of error. Whereas there are children of world orders and mongrel mixtures that lack spiritual capacity, and they can join churches and they can move into organizations of God, but they continually walk out or they continually move over in the area of the error. Now, there's something about that in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who sees the perception of spiritual force as the relationship to the divine plan, he makes this statement, O Yahweh, hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of the living water. What do we mean by fountain of living water? We mean the kind of energy, when it meets the cognition of the consciousness, becomes implied for vital operation. Actually, if you will go to the full depth of what is hidden in these mysteries of spiritual life and power, you can find a great divine force that rejuvenates men, that reactivates their lives, that rolls back age and permits them to carry on as long as they got a vision. So I don't really believe that. But my friend, you can stay here just as long as you will carry out the purpose. In fact, you can stay forever if you want to. I think right now millions now living are never going to die. I don't see any reason why anybody in this auditorium will not be here when Jesus comes. Someone says, you don't really believe that. I believe that, my friends, more than I believe any promise of President Johnson. Let's again think of what Jeremiah said. O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. This reaches out to the peoples to the ends of the earth. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. What did he mean by being written in the earth? Well, if you remember the words of Jesus, he said, more than the power I give you over the devils and the demons, rejoice and be glad that your names have been written in heaven. I want you to know this afternoon that every last one of you, as the children of the Most High, your names were written in heaven when? Some evangelist converted you to an idea that he was talking about? Was it written in heaven when you joined the church? Was it written, my friends, in heaven because of some decision you made? He said, ye haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. Well, isn't that, I've ordained that your fruit's going to remain. When was it written in heaven? It says, your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. There's something else I think you should know. There are several areas where changes are made in theology. This has been made by sometimes well-meaning clergy. In original text, at no place were names ever taken out of the Book of Life. If they were written in there by the foreknowledge of God, he knew what he was doing when he put it there, and he never had to take one out. Churches like to threaten people by saying their names might be taken out. You can take it off a church book, but you never take it out of the Book of Life. I want you to know that there's no excommunication from the family of God. You say, what about Lucifer? He never belonged to God's family. He just worked for the family. He was just an archangel, great and high though he was. Not one angel in all the universe did God ever say, thou art my son. You want to know something that should fill your heart and soul this afternoon? God said, thou art my sons and thou art my daughters. I have begotten thee. The apostle Paul said, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we lift our face to the sky because of the magnitude of its depth, we say, our Father with art in heaven. Sometimes we're looking way out there for something so close to us that it's as close as your inner consciousness. For he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I point out, therefore, that there are a lot of people that go out from us. I said, where did they go? Well, their names were written in earth books anyhow. Jesus said, they that go out from us were not of us. Someone said, well, they look like they could have been. Well, you don't know what's in that background. I'm going to tell you one thing. God doesn't accept in the operation of his kingdom in his spiritual center the mongrel up to the 10th generation. Someone said, Dr. Swift, we don't want to be that hard about it. This isn't being hard about it. Let's tell the truth. Someone said, well, I've got one that I know it's only about 5 generations back. Let's bring him in. Don't bring him in here. Some people said, well, what are we going to do with Barry Goldwater? We're not going to vote for him. No, I got a copy of the Jewish press here in this city, and they're not only for Barry Goldwater, they're for Mr. Javits, too. They want both of them to run. They said the Irish did it, now the Jews are going to do it. But they're not going to do it, my friends, if we vote Christian, pray Christian, and talk Christian. Someone said, you're mad at this person? We're not mad at them. Got something against them? I haven't got anything against them. I don't like the way they think about America's destiny. I'm not for any man that's for the United Nations. I'm not for any man that supports a policy of taxation that makes the man a slave to the state. So we got to have taxes, that's right. Make sure it's collected at the time that it's due, and there's no way for it to accrue a burden or give power over the individual. I want you to know that I could never support the candidacy of any man that wants to overthrow state rights and individual rights for demagoguery and destroy your race. But I just point out these patterns that are clearly defined here. Someone said, well, we'll end up with a kingdom that's so holy, so righteous, but it's only made up of our race and only made up of those that are the children of God, unpolluted, unmongrelized, that it'll just separate a whole lot of the world. That's what it's supposed to do, separate you from the world. Someone said, well, that leaves a lot of people out and they can't help it. My friends, your basic responsibility is to preserve a posterity according to the ordinances of God. The grace that God takes care in the eventual fullness of time of every individual being on the face of the earth. But why do you suppose that way back down in the early part of the history of your race, God made it so clear that he didn't want you to intermingle and intermarry with other races? If it didn't make any difference, they were all going to be swept up in a pattern of grace inside his kingdom for administration, then what difference did it make who you married or where they came from? It was because this kingdom that God's building has got to be produced out of a holy seed that emerged from him, out of a seed that he has restored, out of a seed that he has empowered, and out of a people that have the capacity to think the thoughts of God. And as the Spirit of God clears away the fog, as it eliminates the propaganda of the world order, as it makes a man see clearly what God's plan is for the earth, then that individual can carry out the program of God. I'm not talking about whether people can eventually all acknowledge the right God, whether it won't change their lives, whether it won't do a great work for them, it will. I'm talking about the kingdom this afternoon, the white race, the Christian nations, Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, that God's called his family, his household, to bring his kingdom in. Now there are a lot of people who seem to be called to carry all kinds of 5 and 10 gimcracks down to Africa to try to get these Africans to say, I believe in God. They believe in the gimcracks. No, I'm not going to condemn somebody that wants to take Mr. Woolworth's 5 and 10 cent store sack down and spread it around among the Negroes, but don't bring these Negroes back, my friends, and say, now you have to absorb them in your family. They're now your brothers because they took the 5 and 10 cent gifts and said, I believe you're God. I'm not going to say that there may not be a missionary activity in this field, for I believe 100% that one of the greatest developments in God's kingdom was the colonialism of the earth, as the sons and daughters of your race went out and established administration in the ends of the earth, as they built government and law, proclaimed the pattern of right God. I want you to know one of the signs of the times, the ends of this age, is this retreat as we clear the deck for action and we are cut off at the ends of the earth where we had developed the outstretched branches of the kingdom.
Out to you that under these instances, therefore, that there are various ministries. We believe this afternoon that the most important thing you can do is go into action for the kingdom of God. You pray, thy kingdom come, work for thy kingdom come, but let's find out what it is. Say, how far does this go? This goes in every facet, in every phase of life. There's a successful way and there's a defeatist program. Nobody ever followed the program of God's kingdom were defeated at. Therefore, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon my sons and my daughters. The embodiment of God walked among men. He said, if I be lifted up, I draw men unto me. But he never drew any of the Jews. They fought him. Not only did they fight him, but they delineated by their resistance to him that they couldn't understand what he said. God didn't send his embodied form into the world to condemn the world, but through him that the world might be saved from their error and all that was involved in it. This had nothing to do with his own household and the mighty kingdom that he established as far as absorbing them. We came here to save the world, not, my friends, to absorb it. Now listen, the moment you mix with the outlander people, the moment you mongrelize your race, you limit your perception. Your spiritual guidance in every mulattoized and mongrelized society has degenerated a great speed. Let me point this out to you. Jesus, standing talking to the Samaritan woman, said, therefore, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him like a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Remember that he had asked the woman for a drink. She said, how is it that thou, a man out of Judea, come to me, a Samaritan woman, and ask me for a drink? He said, woman, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask him for a drink because you would never thirst again. Said, well, I'd like to have some of this water so I'd never thirst again. I wouldn't have to come and draw water from this well. But this was because she thought only in the terms of the water that was in the well, not of this great spiritual secret known to the prophets and known, my friends, to the offspring of the Most High throughout the ages when they were spiritually led. I'm afraid there are a great number of churches today throughout this nation and throughout Christendom whose ministers don't so much as know of a well of living water. They do not so much as know of the capacities of their congregations to receive the wisdom of God, and therefore they don't activate it by talking about the things of God that start the catalyzation. But they're going to. Say why? Because God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all my sons and all my daughters. Some of the congregations are going to outdistance the preachers.
Someone said, do you think that every one of these churches are going to become now a great and mighty oracle of the truth? No, I think, my friends, there's going to be a lot of empty buildings, and the people are going to come out and join the areas of truth. I think you're going to see the great separation start, and I think it's already starting across the nations of the world. I think you're going to see the great true church of God, not, my friends, an ecumenical conference or council of all kinds of philosophies and religions, but a great ecumenical assembly of all the sons and daughters of God that believe the truth. I think you're going to see this great pulsing life reach out across the nation. I think its contacts go into homes and go everywhere, and the church, my friends, may not be nearly as important down on the corner as that great living organism that God reactivates by His Spirit for the salvation of your nation. Yes, because you are a child of the Eternal and have a celestial consciousness, you also possess in the seat of that consciousness the ability to receive this wave of energy and idea and then pour it out. And as you send it out and it reaches others and catalyzes them, out of you comes a spring of living water, and it is a spring of living water of everlasting life. I even note that Schofield and other Bible translators were faced with the accuracy of the original words they were working with in the Greek. And when they came to the words everlasting life, they said, this is the life that belonged to God before the foundation of the world and reaches out into the endless tomorrows, and they that have this life will never die. This is the great vital truth of Christendom. This is the empowering understanding today. You are children of an eternal life. You see people's physical bodies die, though those physical bodies could have more enduring strength if they were coordinated with knowledge and wisdom and with the purposes of God. You know, this is a testimony that God will bestow upon anybody that serves Him. If you will serve God unceasingly, He'll pour out more energy on you than you ever have. You'll discover that you never wear out serving God. Oh, we see men age, we see them pass into the dimension of the kingdom, but my friends, their power, their energy, their force to carry out the work of God, it is unceasing as long as they desire to work at it. When they start talking about retiring, then goodbye. Someone says, well, we want to sit down and rest. Well, there's not much time to rest here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. A lot of people are planning on dying pretty soon, and they will. A lot of people are planning on living till Jesus comes, and they will. Say, what is this to do with rivers of living water? Because everlasting life is your spiritual inheritance in the spirit now. All that comes to you is a cognition of it in the seat of your soul, and it's an energizing power that you can pass even into your physical body. I can tell you that with the same commands ye command heaven and it works. With the same direction, whatsoever things ye ask under heaven, two or three of you agreeing and touching on this thing, he says, I'll do it. Sometimes I hear people say it didn't work for me. Well, they didn't expect it to work. I had one man tell me, you know, he says, it happens just like I anticipate. Every time I pray, nothing happens. I said, you're not disappointed? Not at all. Says, that's what you said, just like I anticipated. There is a very, very thin line today between the dimensions of spirit, the great planes of human consciousness, and the science and the knowledge and the wisdom that God has developed in consciousness in your race. I believe in the ability of the individual, according to his cognition, to use all the power he needs. We are thankful for the great and the mighty services of doctors and all of the various branches of the healing arts to which they've dedicated their lives and taken oaths to serve humanity. But I want you to know the successful doctor has to have faith in God to carry out these activities and these functions.
And if he didn't have faith in the knowledge and the patterns, the wisdom and the vision, he wouldn't dare to move.
Now there are a lot of people today who say, we don't need doctors. Well, my friends, I'm going to tell you this. God's given every call to every type of profession, and God has used wisdom and he's used knowledge, but where you reach an absolute extremity beyond all human ability, God still reaches out to heal. And when the church reaches and attains again the ease with which Christ raised the dead and healed the sick, you won't need any doctors. In that day also, my friends, everything else is going to be culminating in perfection. I do not feel today that there is one area that is not brought to perfection by the final blueprint of the kingdom. You know, someone said to me, I don't think we need teachers and theological seminaries. Let every man be taught of God. That's a great idea. But I'm going to tell you that these services in educating society have been a vital call, a vital challenge. The only mistake we've made is we've let the enemy come in and teach our children. The kingdom of God was not founded on this premise, that we were instructed that we were not to do these things. But let me tell you, the day is coming when every man's going to know, even as he is known, he's going to understand the things which are in the mind of God and your race. So we won't need teachers then. Maybe we won't need teachers, because we'll have moved into the great administrative program where we're going to be so busy with individuals that are going to rule and reign and carry out their objectives and their patterns of instruction to the ends of the earth, that the whole world's going to need teachers. You know, the ends of the earth are going to look unto you. But the secret of spiritual power is constantly descending from the Father, is in cognition. Aware of it, you reach for it. Aware of it, you use it. You say, well, how can I use something I can't see? First you feel it, then you watch it. Then you see its illumination. You watch it work in your lives. You today are believing things you didn't know anything about a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Why, if somebody came along 10 years ago and told you what you believe today would be believed by you, many of you would say, why, I wouldn't believe that. That's not according to my church. I just don't believe it. Well, why do you believe it now? Because the Spirit makes this thing known unto you. It has borne witness with you that these things are true. So line on line, precept upon precept, he has been sending that stream of life, never stop flowing, with you always, moving out among his people. And it grows up into you as a well of living water, and you have to keep pouring it out. Have you ever found any period in your life where you have more impulse to tell people all the time? Even if they don't listen to you, if something's impelling you, you're telling it, telling it, telling it. Why? Because it's a river of welling up spiritual force that's now moving out, and you can't contain it. Some people have said the most important thing is to be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with knowledge and wisdom of God. And then you don't let it stagnate, you pour it out. But we turn in this concept of a river of living water. And we tell you the Father said he's going to produce the mighty fruit of the tree of life. And there are 12 manners of fruits. And it is for the healing of the nations. There is a people today who God calls his own that have this capacity. In this 14th chapter of John, he says, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, but you can receive. That majestic prayer of Jesus in that 17th chapter of John, in all his physical embodiment, he says, thine they were in the heavens, mine they are in the earth. None of them were lost except Satan's own son. Don't take them out of the world. Keep them in it. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So I tell you this afternoon, you do not belong to the world order. You do not belong to its thinking. You do not belong to all the travesties of its era. You belong to the household of God, an eternal people guided by his Spirit to the fullness of knowledge, to be led into the knowledge of all truth. We don't close the door on truth. We even listen and hear all men out, but pretty soon you discover where they stand. And I'm going to tell you one of the great discerning patterns is, what do they do with the person of your father? And if they want to share your father with other fathers, then they don't belong to my family, because we have one father. One father, even God. Not, my friends, the God of this world, but the God of a whole universe that shall make the earth his footstool.
and hath given it unto you, because you are his household. I want you to know that eternal life is a spiritual entity. It can become a physical entity as mortal puts on immortality. And you can start putting on immortality as you, charged with spirit, function in perfect coordination with the Most High God. So in this instance, as we think on these things, this stream of life flows from the Father. It's been coming down to the entity of the Adamic race from Adam to your time. And as we see this stream of life, we point out to you that this is God's new water of the ages. And it's been descending upon the earth, as in the book of Revelation, John beheld it, like a great city coming down out of heaven from the Father. A city is made up of people, and the people came from the Adamic posterity, increasing and multiplying, a great city coming down out of the heaven. Someone said, when's it going to arrive? It's been coming all down through the years. I look out on its citizens. The entrance was the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. That's the gate. It's a new order. Someone said, what do we have for the ends of the earth? We have, lift up your eyes unto the Most High. Bow the knee, for every knee shall bow. We have the blessings. We have the guidance. We have the leadership of God's kingdom. We have what the whole world's waiting for, know-how. The United Nations says they don't have the know-how, and you do. So they want you to support them. We, my friends, want divine law. We'll give them know-how when they're in proper relationship with God. We'll not become the slaves to the earth. We'll become its leaders. This is God's plan. Plenty by fulfilling their responsibilities unto God. Yes, and remember this afternoon, that people that do not have know-how are not your equals. Remember, my friends, the best evidence of the superiority of God's kingdom is the kingdom itself. Oh, it's imperfect. It has not come to its full. It has sleepy and blinded children, and the voice of this hour is awake, and stand upon thy feet and come up out of thy sleep. Call upon thy God. The cry of the watchman is, what of the night? The morning cometh. I tell you this afternoon that we're about to see the greatest deliverance in all God's time and history, in your nation and throughout the world, as your race discovers its responsibility, as it reawakens to the Master's call, as it repudiates every false doctrine of Antichrist. Not integration, separation, and blessing is going to be America's development. And I'm going to tell you that before you've gone through the next year, you're going to see the great spiritual forces start a mighty reversal of what Satan thought he had all finished. You know, some of the most surprised leaders are going to be the leaders that find out that the people, as they are awakening, have another plan. You know, one of the strange things is to see how some of these fellows change their politics if they think the people behind them that are going to cast the vote want to change. And the change is coming. The new order is developing, and it's going to be done by a stream of living water, welling up in you, poured out from the heavens, redeveloping like a spring, a never-ending source of vision.